everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, March 9th, 2017, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We have worldwide live listening, which means if you're anywhere near a computer, you can hear this program anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com. That's my website and the station's fine website, kvoi.com. We have very good news about Pima Community College, and we're going to get right into that. Our interview series, we're resuming that today, sponsored by Pima Community College. The series introduces our listeners to the very talented and dedicated educators who call Pima's six community campuses home. Today, we have Dr. Ian Rourke with us in studio. Dr. Rourke is Vice President of Workforce Development at Pima Community College. Dr. Rourke, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill. Thank you for having me.
How big a deal is this notice that this news that the Chancellor, Chancellor Lee Lambert, sent out just a few minutes ago? He says, I have great news, colleagues. The Higher Learning Commission's Board of Trustees has removed the college from notice.
This is exciting news, not only for the college, but also for the community as a whole. We are the community's college. And in so many ways, this sets us up for doing some of the amazing things that the chancellor and that our board and that our leadership, faculty, and staff have set out to do. A lot of people have worked very hard over a long period of time to really fix a lot of the systemic issues. These were not small issues, but really deep, protracted, and systemic issues that the college needed to address. And as a community college and as a community within ourselves, we came together under the leadership of our chancellor, of our board, and the support of all of our faculty and staff, and got the job done.
And it's big for the whole community, really, to have a resource like Pima Community College. And then in your area, in workforce development, this is good news, because now when you go to talk about Tucson and the type of things we have to offer, this is one more thing that you can sell.
Absolutely. And as said on many occasions, including some of our own board meetings, we knew that the fundamentals were there. We knew that we were trending in the right direction and meeting all of the concerns of the HLC. But to have the external accreditators validate that is a matter of reputation and a matter of credibility with regard to workforce and economic development. And so when folks, when business and industry and new companies are seeking to move to this region, they want to know that the community college, which is the primary deliverer of the workforce that they need to be successful, they want to know that that college is strong, that the fundamentals are there. And this really tees us up to take our message to business and industry to the next level in that regard.
And business and industry want a very strong workforce. Some exciting news that happened actually last month, I believe. It's really a kind of a first of its kind curriculum that is developed by Pima Community College and several of the other community colleges in the state, Maricopa Community College District, Central Arizona College, joining with Pima in this agreement, which I guess in effect, Dr. Rourke, will help train the state's future workforce.
Absolutely. So this is called the Arizona Advanced Technologies Corridor, and this is a very unique situation for Arizona, where under the partnership and leadership of the Office of Economic Opportunity, the three public workforce systems in each of those counties and the three community colleges came together to unite our curriculum in manufacturing and advanced manufacturing. And what this really does is communicates to companies who may want to move to the region, or the supply chain that is already here, or other large companies that are already here, such as Boeing, Raytheon in Pima County, and Lucid Technologies, which is moving into Pinal County, that we are working together to develop the workforce that they need, this high demand, highly technical, highly skilled workforce.
And Raytheon, one of our biggest private employer, has to be excited about this news, especially with Raytheon adding nearly 2,000 jobs. They're going to look for a real strong foundation for our workforce development.
Absolutely. So we were excited about the announcement of the expansion of Raytheon, and it had already been in prior conversations in building a cohesive talent development solution with them and members of the Southern Arizona Manufacturing Partners, which consists of a number of suppliers to Raytheon and also independent manufacturers. They're very excited about this because what this allows us to do is validate the quality of the content and the curriculum and the instruction in all of our colleges across a region so that employers know up front what they are going to get out of the graduates who are coming out of these programs.
Give our listeners kind of the general footprint of economic development and what it includes under your jurisdiction at Pima.
So workforce development and economic development in the past used to be related fields of practice, but not necessarily always one and the same. And so what's really happened over the last few years is because of what is known nationally as the skills gap, which is a very deep and almost crisis point of not being able to find highly skilled technical workforce in the country and in the state. Now, workforce development or the availability of the right talent has become one of the prominent, if not the most prominent factor in determining whether or a company uses and whether or not they determine to move to a new city or to stay in the city in which they have their existing footprint. So it's very important to business, to industry, to local government, to the citizens that the talent development supply chain is in place and can meet the demands of business and industry, both the companies that reside here now and those that seek to move here.
And when you meet with companies and you determine what their needs are and then you try to accommodate that, correct?
Yes. So the one of the main pushes in workforce development at Pima under the leadership of our chancellor and with the workforce development division and all of our other academic divisions is becoming more flexible with our programming to meet the needs of business and industry. That also means building a lot of relationships with business industry, like as occurring with this corridor where we're all in the room together to develop the system that we need so that it's not just when business and industry knocks and they say, we need X. We are left in the dark and say, well, we didn't know that. It takes us 2 or 3 years to get to that point. Now we are building that system together so that they can have the workforce that they need at the point in time they need it.
Coming up in a few minutes at 12:30, Dr. Wark, we're going to be speaking with the consultant who actually was instrumental in bringing this Site Selectors Guild annual conference to Tucson next week. Everyone associated with economic development is really excited about what's going to be happening here next week.
This is great for our community, for Tucson, for Pima County. As evidenced by the movement of Caterpillar, as evidenced by the expansion of Raytheon, and those are the big companies, but all of the suppliers that come to bear whenever big announcements like that happen really shows that Tucson is being looked at nationally as an area for advanced technology, advanced manufacturing. This is only good for the community as it brings new jobs, which we desperately need. And we at Pima Community College are excited to be a part of that equation in providing our students with these high-skilled, high-wage job opportunities and also meeting at the same time the needs of our employers.
And when you're getting back to that charter between the three community colleges, the Maricopa Community College, Central Arizona College, and Pima Community College, what you're going to have is kind of a uniform curriculum, so someone coming into Southern Arizona or Central Arizona know that the curriculum for the job development is going to be the same at all three of the institutions.
Yes, and anybody in education knows that curriculum development is a process, not an event. But what the charter signifies is that we are committed as three institutions to align our curriculum and in a way that has not been done in Arizona. So that's the other thing I think that is important for the folks to know, is that these college systems have opened our books, we've opened our arms to each other, and we are going to work diligently to have the same program of study in advanced technologies, which is big news for Arizona and big news for our community.
And how long does it take some of the students right out of high school that go into these programs? They're with you in 2 years, and then they're pretty much job ready. Is that correct?
In some cases, it's even less than
it's
2 years.
Less than two.
So okay. If it's a certificate program, or mm-hmm. sometimes, depending on the skill set, a boot camp type program, mm-hmm. there are some programs with which they can enter the workforce as little time as 1 semester of study, all the way up to 2 years for the full degree. So it depends on the position that they're going for and the required skill set, but there's a range of options for students these days. And those options are catered to the specific designs of the employers and their entry-level positions.
We're speaking with Dr. Ian Rourke, the Vice President of Workforce Development at Pima Community College. And if you're just joining us, there was big news concerning Pima today. The Higher Learning Commission's Board of Trustees has removed Pima Community College from notice. And Dr. Rourke, to summarize that for everyone associated with the college and everyone who cares about a strong educational foundation in our community, is very good news.
Absolutely, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Rourke, for being with us. To learn more about Pima Community College, we strongly suggest and urge you to go to the Pima website, and you can find out about everything going on at Pima. Go to pima.edu. We'll be right back. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with the businesses they trust. At BBB, we also want to honor their efforts for doing business the right way. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that our annual Torch Awards are happening on Friday, April 7th at 5:30 p.m. at Casino del Sol. It will be a fun, elegant evening of celebration, and we hope you will join us. Register today at tucson.bbb.org. Thanks for doing business the right way, Southern Arizona.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll meet the new University of Arizona president-designate, and we'll talk with Arizona Regent Rick Myers. The roundtable features Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic, Dan Shear of the Green Valley News. Our weekend watch is hosted by Matt Russell, all on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:20 now on a beautiful afternoon, a little bit warm for this time of year, but be a great weekend to take a road trip over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States. It's only about three and a half hour drive east of Tucson up to Silver City. When I say up, the elevations anywhere from 5,000 to 7,000 feet. So maybe it's like 90 degrees here in Tucson. Over in Silver City, be about 75 to 80 degrees. Perfect weather for a great getaway. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. That's their fine website. It lists several dozen recreational opportunities and a like number of great places to stay in the area. Tucson can be very proud of the upcoming 62nd annual Southern Arizona Research, Science, and Engineering Foundation Fair. This has really turned in to be one of the big science fairs in the United States. Liz Baker is with me in studio. Liz is the deputy director of the Southern Arizona Research, Science, and Engineering Foundation, SARSEF, for the acronym, right, Liz?
Yes. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you so much for coming in. And tell me a little bit about how this fair has grown over the years and how important it is to young people, I believe, starting with kindergartners.
Yes, absolutely. So when this fair started out in 1955, there was only about 30 projects that were there. It was held at the University of Arizona, and it was only for TUSD students. Now we have 95,000 kids from all over Southern Arizona who are competing for a spot to get to our fair, where the top 5,000 kids will be showing their research, and that is kindergarten through 12th graders.
How does it start? The kids hear about this at school?
Yes. Most students kind of find out through their teachers or maybe by seeing someone else who's entered. And then they start learning more about how they can do a project on something that they feel really passionate about or find a way to solve a problem that they have going on in their life. And I think probably the cash rewards help and encourage them to enter as well.
What are some of those cash rewards?
Well, we give out over $125,000 in scholarships and prizes.
Whoa.
At the fair. So, yeah, even a kindergartner will get a check and a trophy because we really want to encourage students to, be passionate about science and reward them for using their brains.
What would a typical kindergarten project be?
Actually, one of my favorites from last year was that a kindergarten girl noticed that her dog was getting cactus spines in its paws when he was going on walks.
Uh-huh.
So she designed little doggy shoes, testing different materials for what was the best way to protect her dog's paws.
Mm-hmm.
So, as long as it's a problem that they see is important and they solve it, it's wonderful.
And so moving right along, some of the top projects can get quite advanced, I would imagine.
They absolutely can. One of our top high school projects last year came from a senior at University High School, and he was using data collected by the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland, and he found that quarks could rotate a different way than scientists knew possible. And when he went to the International Science and Engineering Fair, he won a trip to go to the Large Hadron Collider.
In Switzerland.
In Switzerland. It was a huge award and a great honor.
So you yourself got interested in this with your own project, I believe you were saying to me before we went on, in third grade, is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
And what was that project, Liz Baker?
Well, at the time I was interested in bugs, and so I looked at where do bugs like to live. I wasn't really good at very many things as a third grader. And so when I got a trophy for doing science, it really changed my life. It validated that I was good at something and that girls could do science. And it really set me on this great trajectory.
And where did that where did that path lead you?
I continued entering each year, and I actually ended up with over $250,000 in scholarships and prizes by going to the International Science Fair.
Whoa, $250,000?
Yes. It was an incredible opportunity for me.
For your future for higher education.
Yes. It allowed me to go overseas for my master's degree, and it opened so many doors.
So how does this work? I mean, putting a show on like this with 95,000 students involved, how can the community come out and take a look at the projects?
The best time for the community to come and see the projects is Friday night, March 31st. If you come between 5:30 and 8 p.m., that's called our Future Innovators Night. And we have 50 hands-on activities with science, and community partners come in like BrainSTEM and do really exciting science shows to get people involved. We also have other exciting events going on, and everything's free, including the parking.
To put a show like this on, you've got to have a huge volunteer workforce.
Absolutely. It takes over 700 volunteers to put this event on, and we actually are still in need of judges and volunteers. So if you're interested in encouraging our next generation of critical thinkers and problem solvers, please do check out our website at sarsf.org.
And, you know, we keep hearing that there is this shortage in the United States of young people that want to go into the sciences. Are we starting to make a dent in that, Liz Baker?
I think that we are. We do, even here in Arizona, there'll be a big workforce gap within the next 5 years in science and engineering jobs. But as long as we have the strong community support of Tucson and companies like TEP who are willing to invest in our future, I think that we'll be able to start closing that gap. We just need to continue to encourage our students to know that it is important for them to form data-based conclusions.
And TEP has been a great help to you.
They have. They're actually our title sponsor this year, and we're so grateful for their support, and they're one of our longest time sponsors.
So when do the kids, they hear about this at school, and what's the chronology of that? When do they, are they already thinking about, you know, maybe the kids that didn't get involved this year? Liz, what about for their next year?
They absolutely can get involved. It's never too early to start. We offer free educational outreach throughout the year, and we'll come out to a student's classroom to work with the students themselves, teachers, and parents to make sure students are getting support from all sides. So if a student would like to start their research, have them contact us, and we'll help them get going.
What's a good place for your contact information?
Well, they can email us at director@sarsf.org. And of course, our website has tons of information, and that's sarsef.org.
We did not say the venue, and we should for the Future Innovators Night. That will be Friday, March 31st at the Tucson Convention Center. And what about parking?
Parking is free.
That's good news.
Yes.
So, and the entire event is free, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. They'll have food trucks. It's a great, bring your whole family. It's a great event.
So parents who are hearing this and perhaps want to get the kids interested in this, this might be a good way just to bring the family to the maybe the innovators night to check out some of the projects that other kids have, and that might light a spark, correct?
Absolutely. We try to get as many different types of community organizations and then of course the projects on the floor there so that something will connect with the student, because a kid might be really interested in basketball and not so much in animals, and we want to make sure that they can see, wow, there's a lot of science in basketball, and you can, you know, find the perfect way to make those hoops if you wanted to through a research project.
What does it take to become a judge at the science fair?
Absolutely anyone can judge.
Okay. So you don't have to have a PhD in chemical engineering or something or whatever.
That's definitely preferred at the high school level because yes, those students are doing high-level research.
But for the lower grade levels,
exactly,
someone like myself could even be a judge.
You would be a perfect judge at the lower grade levels, and it's a lot of fun. Breakfast and lunch are included, too, as extra incentive.
All right, Liz Baker, thank you very much. From the Southern Arizona Research Science and Engineering Foundation, known as SARSEF. And your website, would this get you there, sarsef.org?
Yes.
And that will have all the information folks need about the Innovators Night. Mark your calendars, Friday, March 31st, 5:30 to 8 in the evening at the Tucson Convention Center. Thank you, Liz. Good luck.
And thank you.
We'll be right back.
Did you know you can still donate through tax day to Arizona qualified charities and claim dollar for dollar state tax credits for 2016? The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine, Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's time for our CEO interview series on Buckmaster, presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated, a Tucson-based binational economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. For the past 10 years, the organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in thousands of jobs and an economic impact of nearly $8 billion. For more information, log on to suncorridorinc.com. With us now on the Buckmaster Show live line, Phil Schneider is with us. Phil is the president of Schneider Consulting and has over 28 years' experience in the fields of corporate global location strategy, site selection, incentives, negotiation, and economic development strategy. Phil has cited locations throughout the United States and around the world. He's the chairman of the board for the Site Selectors Guild. That's a group comprised of the top professional corporate location consultants in the world. The Site Selectors Guild annual convention is being held here in Tucson next week, and lots of folks are very, very happy that Tucson was chosen. Phil, how are you today, sir?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, it's a big deal for Tucson to get this conference. What do the Site Selectors do, and what will they be talking about at the Tucson event?
This is an annual conference for us. This is our sixth year of doing it, and it has become, as you said, quite a popular event. Sells up immediately because it's a very unique opportunity for economic development professionals from around the country and the world to network with 43 of the top site selectors in the world. There's really nothing like it. And what we talk about are issues that are important to both site selectors who represent companies who are looking for new locations for their manufacturing plants or service centers or what have you, and the economic developers whose mission is to attract those jobs and investments into the regions or cities. So, first and foremost, it's a very unique networking opportunity, but also it's a very interesting, we think anyway, knowledge sharing event where we talk about the factors that affect us and affect our clients who are looking for new locations and new sites for their operations. And, of course, that in turn affects economic development organizations in the cities and states they represent who are trying to retain those jobs and investments and attract more to grow their economy. So this year, every year we have a theme. And this year, the theme, which we think is appropriate, is the issue of globalization. It's been talked about in business circles and political circles a lot over the last year or two, and really for many years. And there have been a lot of changes, as we all know. It's a rapidly changing political and business cycle environment. So we have some keynote speakers who will be focused on that and what they anticipate will be possible changes or effects on site selection and in this case, commercial real estate take up for sites and buildings. We're going to bring in economists and experts, including our own, about what's happening around the world as this plays out, not only just here domestically, but we represent, our members represent, global companies that are either looking at the U.S. Or U.S. companies that are looking to expand in other parts of the world as their markets grow, and what are going to be the impacts going forward. And, in fact, this year we did we always do a survey and roll out the results at this conference. And this year, as you can imagine, we have got some interesting topics about what's going to happen with potential changes in trade policy, regulatory environment, et cetera. What's going to be the impact on U.S. locations? What's going to be the impact on global locations? What's the impact on foreign direct investment? So some pretty stimulating topics. And then every year we also then dive into in breakout sessions, get into detail on some of the factors that are really most key to our clients' decisions where they're going to locate plants and other operations, issues like workforce and infrastructure, et cetera.
Phil Schneider, I wanted to ask you about Tucson specifically. What was it about our area that that drew the attention of the Site Selectors Guild? And I would think for Tucson and our area, this is just a golden opportunity to show off our area, and you can't beat the weather you're going to have next week in the 80s, so it's going to be beautiful.
Well, we think it's a great opportunity for Tucson as well, and cities compete for this. They want these site selectors to be in their town for about five, you know, often for 5 days, and the host, in this case, the state of Arizona and the corridor, the Tucson corridor, are the hosts, and they get to spend a lot of time with these key corporate site selection decision makers to discuss the issues that are affecting our clients and specifically how this region can address them. So it is a unique opportunity, and also to, as you say, sort of show off the community, not only to the members of the guild, but to the other economic development professionals from around the country and really around the world that are also coming to this event. So it's a great opportunity.
And what?
Tucson?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Why Tucson? Yeah,
well, first of all, I think most, if not all, of our members would be familiar with Tucson. Certainly familiar with Arizona because it's been a dynamic player in attracting and growing jobs relative to the rest of the country for a long time. So I would say practically all of our members have had projects that either have selected Arizona or have looked very closely where it's a strong candidate. So it's a dynamic area, but there is a process for selecting this. And, you know, I don't think it's any secret that this time of year is a wonderful time to be there. So not only is it attractive to our members, it's a great place to have our annual meetings and our annual conference, but it's a great place for the attendees who want to come there as well. So great location, great venues to have it, dynamic place. It all adds up, and because of that, Tucson won this opportunity.
Sun Corridor, Inc. will be sponsoring this, and what is the venue for the convention?
We're at the JW Marriott Resort.
Great property. Okay, let's talk a little bit about what site selectors are looking for in a community. What are some of the things? Workforce development, I'm sure, is right there at the top.
Well, I always have to say this. Every project, every industry, every company is different.
Okay.
And that's what makes us a very unique profession, because we really have to understand, and this is what our members do, they have many, many years experience doing this, is really helping our clients figure out what is it that they want. A very detailed framework for how to make that kind of decision. As you can imagine, some of these decisions can be make or break for a company.
Right.
Some of these operations can be $1 billion or more investment and thousands of jobs. So it's critical, absolutely critical, that they get it right for the long run. But every company and every even product line has different needs. You're right. Some of them are very focused on talent, mm-hmm. the ability to get the people they need with the skills they need and be able to evolve as their processes evolve, right? So workforce almost always is a top five factor. Sometimes it's not. It's rare. But, you know, you sometimes have projects where there are other things that are driving it. But workforce is always very close to the top of the list. And then infrastructure is the other. You've got to be able to get your raw materials in and your product out. You've got to get your people in and your people out. You've got to get your customers to your plant or your salespeople out to the force. So all issues around transportation infrastructure, utility infrastructure, you know, the actual real estate itself that you can grow onto that meets all your needs. All of those are important. And of course, costs. You know, you've got to have costs that are competitive. Overall, all those variable operating costs that change by geography have to be in line with your industry and your competitive structure. So all of those things have to be in line. And then there are many other issues. A manufacturing plant may have 50, 60 factors that we're evaluating and modeling
wow.
in order to come up with the best ones. Others are so driven by customer access or so driven by workforce that, you know, it becomes a little bit simpler equation.
Uh-huh.
Many are very complex equations.
All right. Phil Schneider, thank you very much for spending some time with us, Mr. Schneider. I appreciate it.
You bet.
All right. Thanks, Phil. Phil Schneider is the chairman of the board of the Site Selectors Guild, a group of top professional corporate location consultants all over the world, and they're coming to Tucson. So we'll put our best face forward next week. They'll be out at the JW Marriott. It's exactly 12:45 on Buckmaster. We'll be right back.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Lewis.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Don Pooley.
Hey there.
Dave Barry.
Great to see you.
Hey, it's Brian Jeffries.
Thanks for coming.
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, I'm really glad you're here.
Brenda Viner.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Feeney.
I didn't know you were coming.
Joseph Blair.
You're
Bill Viner.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Hussey.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Aren't you?
Bob Logan.
Hey, this is great. My neighbor's here.
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, Ken, what could possibly top this party?
Wait, you're kidding me, aren't you? The Tucson Festival of Books, March 11th through 12th on the beautiful U of A campus. The Tucson Festival of Books is a literary extravaganza, attracting over 100,000 book lovers, and it's all free. There's something nearly for everyone. Family activities, culinary delights, entertainment, author presentations, book signing, Science City. Go to TucsonFestivalOfBooks.org.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of Five Star Termite and Pest Control. You know, I've got five kids and four of them are daughters.
Daddy, Daddy, there's a spider in my room.
Oh boy, did I get smart. I took care of the spider, but the smartest thing I ever did was call Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Guess what? No more bugs in a Lehman household. They do a great job. They're economical and environmentally friendly.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
At the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we've been caring for homeless pets for over 72 years. But as we've grown, our campus hasn't, and our pets and staff are crowded in run-down, dilapidated buildings. The need for a new campus is critical. The homeless pets in our care need healthier, stress-free space, and we need room to expand the important work of adoption and education. Please help us build our own forever home. Visit hssaz.org and donate today, because we're all in this together.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
To the Buckmaster Show. This year marks the 10th anniversary of the University of Arizona taking over the management of Biosphere 2. It has been a very successful partnership. Kevin Bonine, Dr. Bonine, UA College of Science and Biosphere 2, Director of Education and Outreach at Biosphere 2, is with us on the live line. Kevin, how are you?
Excellent, excellent. Thanks so much.
So much has happened over the last 10 years, and one of the really interesting things, this series that debuted really last year, it's called What If, and it's going on each Saturday at Biosphere 2. Kevin, what's going on this month?
Yeah, so the What If series is how we help get science in front of the public that come to visit Biosphere 2. As you said, the University of Arizona has been involved for about 10 years, pushing the research and education frontiers using that facility. And the What If series is a way to get more science that's happening on campus and at Biosphere 2 in front of our visitors. March is Women's History Month, and so we're focused on women and girls in science, and we have a great lineup of female speakers talking about their science and how to get more girls to be interested in science and math careers.
You know, earlier in the show, Kevin, we were talking to the people who put on this fabulous science fair here in Southern Arizona. There are now 95,000 kids from kindergarten through eighth grade and high school, I believe, that are taking part in the science fair. And this is good news for our future, getting more kids into science.
This is great news for our future. The key to community economic development and personal career opportunities has to do with how well you do in science and math, even if those aren't necessarily the careers you choose. And Arizona is a hotbed of fantastic science, especially Southern Arizona. There's so much going on this time of year. Tucson Festival of Books is coming up this weekend, and there's a Science City that's part of that that will interact with 100,000 or so visitors. So there's just so much activity happening around science, and the University of Arizona is right in the middle of that.
So Women's History Month, March, so the What If series will be built around that. Then in April, of course, it's Earth Month.
April is Earth Month, and Biosphere 2 and the Earth System science that we do, there's lots of links of importance for understanding the environment and understanding sustainability. So we have partnered with a group on campus, Laura Lopez Hoffman's lab, and she studies and does research on ecosystem services. These are the things that nature provides us that we need, but we sometimes take for granted and don't necessarily pay for. So all the students and research faculty in her lab are going to be presenting each of the five Saturdays for April Earth Month at Biosphere 2.
Biosphere 2 really is a great example, Kevin, of some of the challenges of recreating what nature does for us, for free, right? Like oxygen production, which without that, we're goners.
That's exactly right. So, sort of this innovative idea to build a 3-acre separate facility that's closed off from the rest of the world and to see if you can recreate all those processes that we kind of take for granted, like oxygen production, food production, wind, all those sorts of things. It takes many hundreds of millions of dollars to be able to recreate that, even on a small scale, like a few acres. So I think it's an important lesson for us to realize the importance and value of maintaining healthy ecosystems around us because it makes our lives better.
What happens on Earth Day? Do you have something specifically planned for Biosphere 2? That's the 22nd of April.
That's Saturday the 22nd, and we have lots and lots of things planned for Earth Day. It's the 10th anniversary celebration of Biosphere 2 of the U of A being involved at Biosphere 2. And obviously it's Earth Day. We've got lots of exhibitors and vendors and scientists on site to share their work and demonstrations with folks. We've got lots of different speaker series lined up, one in the morning focused on the city of gastronomy and local food, culture, and heritage. In the afternoon, we've got a panel series focused on water, earth, and the other key elements, water, earth, food, and the other key elements of the research that we do at Biosphere 2. And we've got scientists coming in from around the world to talk to the public. And we're going to cap off the afternoon with the unveiling of a new vertical farm facility in one of our lungs and a concert by Calexico at the end of the day.
That was a vertical farm, did you say?
A vertical farm. So one of the new innovative technologies and a way to produce food using less water and less energy is to do it in highly regulated facilities where you are stacking the production, you're using aquaponics, you're providing nutrients through the water stream, and you're providing just the right wavelengths of light with LED lights. And we have one of our lung facilities out at Biosphere 2 that we're going to convert to a vertical lung. We're very excited about this opportunity, and the group that's coming in is actually going to sell that produce to local markets.
Not only is this is the 10th anniversary, as you say, of the collaboration. It's been a very successful partnership between U of A and Biosphere 2. But Biosphere 2 last year actually celebrated the 25th anniversary of this very iconic structure. And when I say iconic, I'm sure, Kevin, you deal with visitors from all over the world that have heard about this facility. Is that correct?
We do. We have visitors from all over the world, all over the country, all sorts of different ages, and a number of folks don't know exactly what Biosphere 2 is about. They've heard a little bit about it, and it's for its entire history, it's all about sort of the cutting edge of understanding how the planet works and the different ways that's happened, with people inside. Columbia University was there for several years manipulating temperature, carbon dioxide levels, and looking at the responses of plant communities and the ocean that we have at the facility. And now we're continuing that research with the U of A, using the different biomes and really trying to focus on how water and energy cycle through landscapes and how water availability might change in the future with climate change.
And you've really been at the forefront in this whole idea, Dr. Bonine, about successfully recycling water, correct?
Of course, and that's going to become a more important component of the way we think about how we live with an increased population, especially in arid parts of the world, and even more importantly, if precipitation patterns change.
We have a lot of listeners who are here for just the winter. Perhaps they're not familiar about kind of the nuts and bolts of visiting Biosphere 2. Take a moment to explain where you are located and your operating hours, please.
Sure. We are just up the road on Oracle towards the town of Oracle. From downtown Tucson, you might want to budget about an hour drive. And we're open 9 to 4 every day, offering experiences and visits to the facility. There's lots of information available on our website at biosphere2.org. And I encourage people to check out that website for more information about our Saturday What If series, our upcoming Earth Month events, our Earth Day activities, and other things, you know, on into the summer, like our Science Academy for students. We have high school and middle school students on site for a week in the summer doing research. So lots of great stuff happening.
The What If series, does that begin at a certain point? Do you have to have reservations, or what about that?
Great question. No reservations needed, and we have the visiting scientists do their presentations in the middle part of the day from about noon to 2, and that's part of every visit experience in the middle of the day on Saturdays.
Kevin, thank you very much. Good to talk with you.
Great speaking with you.
All right. Dr. Kevin Bonine from the College of Science and Biosphere 2, where he is the Director of Education and Outreach at that really terrific facility up in Oracle. All right. The Buckmaster Show wishes to thank Green Things, one of our fine sponsors. Green Things, what a great weekend to do some green things, right? Out at 3384 East River Road, that would be a very good starting point for all of your gardening activities this weekend. And where is that on River? Well, it's just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. I suggest maybe going to the website. There's some great information at greenthingsaz.com, including information about all of their upcoming workshops. Speaking of upcoming, we do a lot of local talk here. Between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., half of our broadcast day is devoted to local talk. 4 to 5, it's Mike Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. Tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9, then Talking Culture from 9 to 10, and then me, Bill Buckmaster, with a surprise guest. We just got the confirmation on this. The University of Arizona President Designate will be with us on the show. Have a great afternoon and evening.